Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hey, good morning, Every Nation, New Jersey. God bless you. PA here, Pastor Adam Burt. And I'm so excited that you would choose to spend your Sunday morning and get this, your Mother's Day morning here with us at Every Nation, New Jersey. And listen, you're in for a real treat. And so for our in-person services, we've actually brought in Pastor Mai Nunag. Mai, she is a world-class communicator and speaker. She's one of the lead pastors at our U-Belt Church in Manila, Philippines. She's a professor there, and as well, she's on our leadership team for Every Nation campuses. And so what an incredible treat it is. And so what we're going to do is we're actually going to film our in-person services, and we'll bring them to our online audience at a later date. But for this morning, what I thought we would do is we would broadcast for you, Pastor Mai Nunag, her talk at the 2019 Every Nation Go Conference. And it's there that she's going to speak to us about raising a generation. And I thought this would be a fantastic message for us on Mother's Day. Enjoy the talk.
Mai Nunag serves as a lead pastor at Victory U-Belt in Manila, Philippines, and as a campus missionary to the University of Santo Tomas, a school of 45,000 students. She and her husband, CJ, have discipled countless students, many of whom are now leaders in ministry, on the mission field, and in the marketplace. In her free time, Mai enjoys culinary adventures, traveling, and playing board games with her family and friends. Pastor, campus missionary, mother, and scholar in training. Mai Nunag.
Pastor Steve and the leaders of our movement, I want to thank you for giving me this great privilege to preach about something that's not just dear to our movement, but to me personally. You know, I got reached out as a young student in a season wherein I think I was investing my life into something worthy to die for. I can't forget that date. You know, August 15, 1996, after being water hose, after rallying on the streets, I lay down on my bed at night and said, I thought I found something worthy to die for, but is there something worthy to live for? And then I walked inside UP Manila Little Theater. I heard Pastor Jun preaching about purpose and destiny, and then, you know, my heart just responded. And I always say this, I walked inside UP Manila Little Theater thinking that I have a cause worthy to die for. I walked out of there knowing, you know, having a revelation that somebody died for me to live and my life was never the same again. And I know that that story is not just my story, but your story as well. At one point in your life, God allowed you to experience Him and His grace. That's why thank you. Thank you so much. You know, for the past days, I feel like I'm in a grand family reunion, and I really look forward to gatherings like this because of two things. First, looking at the nations represented here, I can't help but thank God for allowing us to be a part of what He is doing. You know, assuring us that He is the one establishing His kingdom and letting me see just a glimpse of heaven. But second, looking at the nations not yet represented here, you know, I long to be continually be poured out for Him and His purposes. And gatherings like this allow us to be reminded that we are not alone. You are not doing this alone. So what a great privilege to be a part of the spiritual family. Why don't you say that to the person next to you, we're better together? Because just like what we always say, as long as there's still one country, one city, one campus, one student, one soul that remains unreached, our task is far from over. And we've been talking about great faith for the past days. And the thing about great faith is that it always entails something that is beyond us, mostly something that entails our future. And, you know, when we look back at the great faith moments that we have, it mostly involves things that we are not certain of. And the video said that I've been married for the most awesome man for the past 15 years. And we know from the very start, you know, that what we're getting into entails great faith. You know, my parents had to talk to him because 5 doctors told me that I can't have a child. So when he proposed to me, my parents had to sit with him and said, Christian, he calls them Christian, are you really sure you're going to marry her? Because she can't give you any child. 5 doctors, we've already consulted. She can't give you a child. You know what she said? My mom said, I'm just making sure because you might return her to us. You know, there's a policy, unlike in the U.S., in the Philippines, you know, there's a policy that no return, no exchange. When you bought something, you're not able to return it. So my husband was thinking, what is this? Is this an appliance store? Is she, you know, because my mom even said that she's kind of, you know, defective. There's something in her that, you know, but you know what my husband said? My husband said, Tita, I'm not marrying her for a child. I'm marrying her because I love her. But lo and behold, you know, to make the long story short, God gave us wonderful kids of our own. That's why we named our firstborn Samuel. Naming Samuel because we asked and God gave us a great gift. His second name is Theodore. And our second child is Elizabeth, Sophia. We're blessed with these wonderful kids. And you know, every time, you know, in our hearts and in our minds that nothing is impossible with God. But every time we look at them, we say that, God, thank you for giving us a great physical manifestation of your impossibilities. We always say that impossibilities are God's expertise. That's why if you're in an impossible situation right now, you're in the best position because that is God's realm. That is the great faith that we want. Whenever we're stretched, whenever we're challenged, we just look at them and say, God, what else can be impossible? These two kids, five doctors told us we can't have it, but we have them. That's a great faith journey. But we know that our great faith journey didn't end there. As they're getting older, they're not now into teens. You know, I think about the things that they would encounter. You know, I think about the man and the woman that they would become, you know, the people that they will encounter, the society that they're in. And I'm praying that they will grow up as people who will not be afraid to stand up for what is right. One who's willing to turn away from the offers of the world. Someone who would follow God wholeheartedly no matter how hard it takes. One who would live for God's purposes. And thinking about that, as a movement, isn't this also a picture of the kind of generation that we want to have? The kind of generation that we want to raise up? Someone like the one in Hebrews 11. May I ask everyone to please stand in honor of God's word tonight. Allow me to read from the ESV translation of Hebrews 11, starting from verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. Join me in prayer. Lord, by faith, we come to you today knowing that what we have been receiving for the past days is not just for us, but for the next generation. By faith, we hold fast to your promises, not just for us, but for the future generations. By faith, 500 years from now, 1,000 years from now, until Jesus returns, we will do church planting, campus ministry, and world missions because we have raised and are continually raising the next generation. In Jesus' name, amen. May you take your seats. Now, when we look at the life of Moses from the verses that we read, most of the time we marvel and end up being encouraged with a great faith. Wouldn't we imagine almost everyone in the Bible who lived after Moses knows him. And every time the whole nation of Israel would recount the mighty deeds that the Lord has done, imagine this would be all the miracles in Egypt, the crossing of the Red Sea, their deliverance from oppression, the Ten Commandments, and the establishment of God's covenant to them as a nation. His name is almost always associated as the person being used by God to fulfill his purposes. Because Moses is a person who exchanged a seemingly luxurious life for God's mission. A leader who was powerfully used by God when he decided to save his people. A follower who had an intimate relationship with God. someone who made an impact, not just in his generation, but the future generations. Wow. How many of you, just reading through those descriptions of Moses, you would want your life to be like that? You would want that. You would want to claim that. But when you look at the New Testament, before the great faith adventures of Moses were mentioned, it will always start with this: when Moses was born. In fact, every time Moses' life story, even though we know him for a lot of things, will be recounted, it will always start with his birth story. You know why? Because you see, long before Moses took that first step to usher God's people out of Egypt and lead them to walk on dry ground in the middle of the sea to be delivered out of slavery, there's a group of people who took a giant leap of faith to make sure that he would live to fulfill his destiny. You know, to look at Moses' life apart from those who came before him is to have an incomplete understanding of what God is doing. If we want to raise a generation who would live for God's mission, impact the future generations, we need to learn from the people whom the Lord used in the life of Moses before there even was a Moses. And oftentimes when we read this passage, we skip to verse 24 because that's the most exciting part, right? All the great adventures of Moses. But verse 23 is there. And if the Bible plays it there, it must be very, very important. By faith, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. You know, it's interesting that in the verse that we read, it did not even mention the names of the parents of Moses. And if I were to ask you, and if you would just really be honest, can you honestly say the names of his parents outrightly? Honestly, right? Unlike other people in the Bible that outrightly mentions the names of parents like David, son of Jesse, you know, Solomon, son of David, James and John, sons of Zebedee. If I were to ask you, tell that person next to you, do you remember the names of the parents of Moses? You see, behind every Moses is a generation of people who had the eyes to see, the courage to hide, and the boldness to take the risk for them. Most of us aspire to be Moseses, and that's great. But what if God has called us to be one whose role is to remain anonymous for the rest of our lives so that we can raise up a generation of Moseses? Will we still be willing to invest our lives in the next generation? And let me tell you this, this is not just a message for the old people, okay? Sometimes we feel like, okay, she's talking about the future generation. That's not for me. I want to tell you this. Everyone has a next generation. If you're a parent here, you literally have a next generation in your own back. If you're a young professional, you have a next generation. If you're a student, no matter how young you are, you have a next generation. Everyone has a next generation. So this message is not just for those who are older or more mature, but it's for everyone. Tell that person seated next to you, this is for you. If we want to participate in God's kingdom, this message is for each and every one of us. And as we unpack that one verse, I'm praying that the Lord would open our hearts and help us embrace our role for the next generation. What does it take? You know, when we say change the campus, change the world, when we say every nation, every campus, how does it look like for us? What does it take to raise up a generation of world changers? By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful. You know, oftentimes when we read this verse, we easily dismiss it and say, of course, every parent would see the child beautiful, right? Who among your parents here? Who among you saw your babies and say, no, everyone adores their baby, okay? So what's so different about this? And imagine this with me. Think about this with me. Of all the descriptions that the Bible would ascribe to Moses, why beauty? Why beauty? If this is so important that it's recounted so many times in the Bible, why this one? What's so beautiful? What's so difficult to see the beauty during that time? You know, you see, real beauty is best seen when our vision is clear. In reality, the beauty of something does not change. It is our vision that is relative. And I remember this My son is a super science geek, okay? He loves reading a lot about NASA, explorations, and all that. And in 1990, the Hubble telescope was, so he told me all of these things, okay? So in 1990, the Hubble telescope was released. Okay, the NASA, the astronomers, okay, the scientists, how do you call it, Samuel? Okay, but, you know, they were hoping to find a clear version, you know, a clear picture of the constellation. But what happened was, the images that were sent were not that clear. So they worked hard, they worked day and night, and they spent billions to correct the problem. And they realized that it was the mirror, it was the lens, that's the problem. And I have actually a picture of it. That's a picture before the lens was fixed. But when the lens was fixed, it turned out like this. Imagine the clarity. Imagine the beauty. You know, while thinking about that, I realized the beauty of the constellation never changed. It has always been there. What's the problem? It's the blurry lens. And during the time of Moses, there could have been a lot of things that could have blurred their vision or hindered them from seeing the beauty that is within. Can you imagine their situation? God had been silent for decades. They were slaves with no rights. Life was getting harder. The current Pharaoh had forgotten all about Joseph and all the things that Joseph has made. His parents could have surrendered to these harsh realities. In reality, there's so much brokenness, fear, and restlessness all around. These things could have blurred their vision. How can they see the beauty in the midst of this ugly reality? Only with the eyes of faith can it be possible. You see, how we see things affect our reality. The word saw that was used in the verse came from the word harau, which means see something with God's revelation. This means that more than Moses' parents seeing the physical beauty, though the Bible said that Moses had physical beauty, it was God who gave them the revelation of the plans and purposes that He has for them. You know, maybe you're in a place right now where you feel like it's hard to see the beauty because of the brokenness surrounding you. When you look at the next generation, it's all brokenness that you see. What brokenness are you experiencing in your part of the world? Is it hopelessness? Is it apathy? Is it poverty? Is it racism? Is it alcoholism? Is it drugs? What kind of brokenness are we in right now? I want you to understand this. With the eyes of faith, our present reality is not the entirety of our God-ordained story. Because brokenness is not the entire story for people who see beauty through the eyes of faith. Don't let brokenness discourage you. That is not the end of story for those who choose to see things in the eyes of faith. And talking about brokenness, I remember the story of one of our students in UBelt. Her name is Maribeth Casanova. Maribeth grew up in a very impoverished family. In fact, she had to be a factory worker just to work her way and just to feed them. So their only hope is for their older brother, her kuya, to really finish education and to uplift the condition of the family. But what happened was, his kuya died. Her kuya died. Her older brother died. So they were hopeless. They were at the brink of really giving up. But through the real life scholarship that we have in the Philippines, Maribeth was awarded a scholarship to continue on with the studies. At first, she didn't want to because she felt like it was better for her to just work. But we urged her, we encouraged her. And lo and behold, okay, she got into the university. And it was actually hard for her at first, but it didn't stop her. You know, with all the brokenness that she's experiencing, with all the challenges that she's experiencing, she continued on. She got discipled, she got mentored. And right now, even despite of the challenges that she's in, despite of the brokenness that she's in, she's actually discipling someone. This is what encouraged me. She's discipling Melissa. Okay, Melissa is not your typical student, you know, because she is 6% blind. She only has 6% eyesight. That means she can hardly read or she can hardly see anything until if this close. Okay, you know what Maribeth did to minister to her? She would sit with her in classes, really meet up with her after, and do materials for her to really to really win her. And during the time of, Melissa responded to the call of God. She gave her life to God. And during our, you know, purple book, one-to-one, all those classes, Maribeth, you would see Maribeth sitting by her, you know, explaining to her the lessons and meeting up with her during that time. You know, every time I remember Maribeth and I think of the excuses that I have, the seemingly brokenness that I'm experiencing in my side of the world, I just say, man, what are my excuses? What are my excuses? If a person like Maribeth can minister despite the brokenness that she's experiencing, what's our excuse? What's our excuse? You know, the gospel is actually part of the story of the gospel is brokenness. But it is that very brokenness and beating that has caused our victory. Whenever we encounter brokenness, the real answer to brokenness is the gospel of Christ. And that's what Jesus came here for. Okay? Just like Moses' parents, our world might be surrounded with so much brokenness right now that blurs our vision, but we need to ask God for the eyes to see the beauty in the next generation. When you look at your life, the world, the next generation, do we see risks, the problems they have, the complications they bring, or would we choose to see the beauty that is within them? You know, when you look at this picture of a cute baby, what do you see? What do you see? All of us see a picture of a very cute and handsome baby, right? But you know what his parents, his leaders, and ultimately what God saw? A person who would start a movement in the Philippines. You know, Pastor Steve, you thanked us. You thanked us last time for adopting you, but Pastor Steve, really, thank you. Pastor Steve and Deborah, thank you for seeing the beauty in the next generation beyond the dirty streets of Recto, the dangerous streets of Manila, and the chaotic atmosphere of the Philippines. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. In the New International Version, the verse that we read is rendered as, by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw that he was no ordinary child. You know, another term for ordinary is normal. And because of Pharaoh's order, the normal during the time of Moses is to throw the babies, the next generation, into the Nile River. It was normal to succumb to the fear. It is real for them. And it's easy to succumb to it because maybe they're conforming. Everybody's doing it anyway. Or maybe they have succumbed to fatality. They're saying, we can't do anything about it anyway. His parents could have given into that. But they did not. Because by faith, they saw that he was no ordinary child. Today, you may not be physically in Egypt, except if you're really from Egypt, okay? We don't have Pharaoh's orders, but the pressure is as real as ever. The world would always want to define what is normal for us. And honestly, it has done a great job. Have we embraced the world standard as normal? When we look at the next generation, how do we respond? Do we respond by saying, oh, everybody's doing that? They would get away with it anyway. Or do we respond with fatality saying, I can't do anything about it anymore? Or do we respond with apathy? Are we saying, somebody else will do it? Somebody else will reach the next generation? You know what? Sometimes we are unable to see, not because we are blind physically, but because our eyes have been trained just to see and embrace the ordinary. You know, only with the eyes of faith can we defy the ordinary. God is calling us to see. I remember Pastor Rice exhorting us on the first night. He talked about the vision for the campus and the next generation. Let me tell you this, seeing godly students live upright lives in this present generation, it might not be normal for this world, but with the eyes of faith, it should be normal for us. That is what we should be aiming for. People who would stand for what is right, who would not be ashamed for what they live for what God has given them, for the plans and the purposes of God. That is supposed to be the normal for us. You know, may we have the faith to see that the world does not have to define what is normal for the next generation. You know, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months. In Exodus 2:2, where the original story is found, the way hide that was used here means to keep in safekeeping and to cherish as a personal treasure. You know, to hide is not just to keep away, but to shield or to protect. In the same manner that Moses' parents shielded or protected him from the dangers of the world, we are also called to shield and protect the next generation. Are we the first ones protecting the next generation, or are we the first ones to attack them when we see something wrong? Are we the first ones who agree with the world's labels on them? Oh, they're really like this. You know, the present generation is really like that. How many of you, you know, to hide is not just to protect, but to nurture by cherishing them as a personal treasure. Personal treasure. You know, it's personal. Have you been to the nursery? You know, like when somebody gives birth and they're all babies lined up there. You know, if you're not the parent of that baby, all babies would look the same. You know, at one point, if you really look at it, some babies would just look the same at certain ages. But you know the miracle story of my babies. You know, when I held them, I know that this baby's going to be different. He may look the same with any other babies, but this baby is mine. This is mine. I own this baby. And in the same manner, that's also the same thing. You know, for Moses' parents, he is not just any other Hebrew baby. What made the difference? It is their baby, their very own. There's that sense of relational connection. And in the same manner, until we come to a point of owning the next generation, they will just be another one of those young people, another one of those depressed person, another one of those disconnected teenager. God has given us the young people, and we have to own them. Do they know that we own them? Do we fight for them? Is it personal for us? Like when this world bat attacks the next generation, is it personal? Do we take it personally? This is ours. You know, when somebody attacks my kids, it's personal to me. They can mess with everybody, but not with me, okay? Because they're my kids. It's personal. It's personal. You know, when we say, every nation, every campus, change the campus, change the world, it is not just a good mantra or good byline. It is personal, so personal that we give our lives to it. We cherish them as a personal treasure. Treasure speaks of value, where we invest the most. You know, I remember, and I just came from Wheaton 2 weeks ago, for 2 week intensive, and I just had to say that because they're here. And at the end of our course, they ask us to share what are the things that we've learned. You know, I realized that at the end of the 2-year studies, what Wheaton did to me is that it made me wrestle with the values and the things that we hold dear as a movement. And coming out of it, I've wrestled with it personally. Not just because it has always been said or it has always been done like that, but I have wrestled with it personally, that it became my own as well. That I know there are a lot of things out there that we can walk into, but this is the way I'm choosing to walk in. And I'm grateful that one of the things that this movement values is the next generation. Not buildings, not strategy. Although we believe for buildings, we employ great strategies, but the next generation, the young people. And the thing about nurturing is this: it takes time, it takes patience, it takes a lot of patience. A lot of patience. Did I say a lot of patience? It takes a lot of patience. We nurture them. We nurture them. And realizing that, you know, we just conducted a leaders' camp in New Belt last June. And looking at this picture of this, the picture of this people. You know, we had 500 leaders and interns whom we trained for the next, you know, for the start of the semester, because it's personal for us. We own the next generation. But looking into this picture, we know that we're nurturing them, but we can never hold them. You know, there'd be a time that they would leave you belt. Maybe I won't see them. They'll be sent to different parts of the world. Maybe they'll be sent to different parts of the nation. But we nurture them anyway. We take care of them anyway. We own them anyway. You know, that's our heart. That's our passion, that we will nurture these young people so that they can fulfill the destiny that they have in Christ. I pray that when the young people spend time with us, they will feel that they're nurtured. They will feel that we own them. They will feel that we value them. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. You know, to defy means to go against what is expected. And his parents defied what is the norm during that time. They were willing to risk because Moses' parents had the eyes of faith to see his God-given destiny. They were willing to risk not just their lives, but even the life of the entire community. Can you imagine hiding a 3-month-old baby just in your home? Everybody must have known it would cry, it would create a lot of mess. Everybody knows. And you know, when we nurture and we release the next generation, it takes a community. The midwives took the risk. His brother and his sister, Moses' brother and sister, took the risk. And I'm grateful for the people who took the risk, who nurtured me in my personal walk. You know, looking back the years of my journey, I can just see, you know, a community of people raising me up to become who I am right now. And I hope you have people like that. I hope you find it in your community, in your place right now, in your churches right now. And if you're not in one, find one. And if you're a pastor, I'm praying that that is the community that we'll build for the next generation. That is the community that we would build and that next generation would feel that, that they're nurtured and that we're willing to take the risk for them. Not just take the risk, but we're willing to release them as well. You know, Moses was released even before he was ready. If you come to really think about it, his parents really obeyed Pharaoh's orders, right? They released him in the Nile River anyway, but he was protected. He was nurtured, and he was released, what, at 3 months. Most of the time, we would feel like we would release them even before when they're ready, but release them anyway. Release them anyway. God would be the one to fulfill the calling that he has for them. Our job is to have the faith to see, the courage to hide, and the boldness to defy. You know, I like how this account in Hebrews ended. It says there, by faith, people crossed the Red Sea on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. You know, I like the victorious story of Moses because it says there that he led an entire generation out of slavery. And if you refer to Exodus, it would always say that the Lord heard the cry of his people. The Lord heard the groaning of his people. And church, let me tell you this right now. The next generation is crying out, groaning, asking for somebody to rescue them out of where they are right now. Are we willing? Are we willing to have the faith to see, the courage to hide, and the boldness to defy? Let's take this time to pray. Lord, I pray that as a church, as a movement, God, I pray that you'd give us the faith to see the beauty in the next generation, to help us see what is the normal that you have defined for them. Lord, we even repent for the times, God, that we are the ones who saw ugliness, who labeled them, who despised them. Lord, I pray that you'd open our eyes right now so that we can see the beauty in the next generation. And God, give us the courage to hide, to nurture them, to protect them, God, to allow them to be the men and the women that you've created them to be. And Lord, I pray that you'd give each and every one of us the boldness to defy the world standard, that we would set our eyes on you and say, Lord, Lord, we come to you. We ask for your grace to stand up for the next generation. And Lord, I pray for the willingness to release them as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, was that a fantastic talk from Mai Nunag? She's an incredible communicator, and I pray it blessed you and how we can help raise a generation. And so while the talk's finished, we're not quite done this morning. I want to remind you that you can be faithful in your tithing and your giving. There's three ways that you can partner with us to get the gospel out around the world. And those three ways you can do that is you can go to our website, encnj.org, and just hit the giving icon. Or you can give via text. My family and I give this way. If you just text the letters ENCNJ to the number 77977, it's a very convenient way to give. Or you can mail in your check or money order right here to our church offices at 101 Gibraltar Drive, right here in Morris Plains, New Jersey. And may God richly bless you as you are faithful in your tithing and your giving. Hey, every nation, New Jersey, Jesus loves you, and I think you're pretty amazing too. Have an amazing week.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, encnj.org.